It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone.
Film Festival Radio is superstars.
Okay, here we go. Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Film Festival Radio Show with me, Janice Malone, as always. Just love having you coming on board with us. And we have been faithfully coming on board with you for, oh my goodness, what, since 2007? Yeah, we've been doing this for a while. I especially want to say hello to all of our listeners over in Southeast Asia. And in the India area, we are heard on Gaana.com, and that's spelled G-A-A-N-A.com. And Gaana.com is India's largest commercial music streaming service with over 200 million monthly users. And our show airs on the Gaana.com network. So go to their website, take a look at all of the different other shows, radio shows, podcasts, music shows on the Gaana.com network. And we also are heard on the JioSaavn network, and that's spelled JioSaavn, and that's V as in victory. And so our show airs on that network, and it is a huge one also. This network has offices in New York, California, Mumbai, Gurgaon, and Bangalore. So that's just a lot of people all around the world. And our show is a part of the JioSaavn a family of shows. And so we want to thank both of these networks. They are huge, located, of course, in Southeast Asia. And we want to say hello to all of our fans who are listening from that part of the world. And such beautiful people. I've been around the world, but I've never been to Southeast Asia. I've been to Hong Kong, though, and would just love to one day, hopefully, when all this virus craziness gets settled and hopefully done forever, I can come over to meet the people at those networks and just say hello to the fans over there, the listeners. We would just love to do that. Okay. Before we get to our show, just want to let you know that we have, we're putting together some new segments for the new year, which will be coming shortly. We're just right around the corner from 2022. And so we want you to continue to support us and listen to us, and we will bring you and deliver our part on the whole thing. So today's show, we have two very talented guests. One is a filmmaker and one is a New York Times bestselling author. And so we'll be getting to them shortly. But before we get to our guests, I want to tell you about a particular product that is very helpful, especially in the winter time, with winter finally arriving in places like Vegas and Palm Springs and Arizona, those kinds of places. But we're going to take a quick break. And when I come back, I'll tell you about this really cool product that they sent me to sample, and then we'll get to the rest of our show. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Okay, before we get to our first guest, I want to share with you some information about a company, a brand that I am just so in love with their fashions. I'm talking about Rose Paulino, rosepaulino.com, and that's R-O-S-E. P is in paper, AULINO.com. Go check this website out, because especially ladies, this is for ladies. If you are really into looking your best, looking fashionable, and who isn't, without being too hard on the budget, Rose Paulino designs are what you need to look for. I was so blessed and fortunate that the company sent me one of their very beautiful, stylish denim jackets that has fringe down the sleeves. It's just very beautiful. I'll tell you more about it in a minute. But one of the really special aspects of the Rose Paulino brand is that they, first of all, they are one of the hottest Latinx designers out here. But it's not only about looking great and having beautiful fashions. This is a company that has a heart to give back to the community. They are a community-driven. Their principles are front and center. Not only is the clothing line focused on empowering women, its founder, Rose Paulino, is also giving back to the foster care community from which she used to, once upon a time, was a foster child herself. Just helping foster kids to focus on whatever their dreams are. And a portion of sales from the fashions is donated to kids in foster care organizations. Now, Rose, obviously, she has come such a long ways from her years as a child growing up in the foster care system. Her dreams of being a designer have been realized, I mean, in a big way. She's been featured in Vogue magazine, Vanity Fair, Tatler magazine, House and Garden, also for her really distinct style and approach to fashions. Now, these clothing, they are, the various items, they are made to order with very uniquely crafted style prints and patterns. Now, going back to my jacket, I was so excited when I pulled it out the box. The jacket that I have is, again, it's a denim jacket, and it's the style is called The Harper. So again, if you go to rosepaulino.com and just look for The Harper. Beautiful, because I'm originally from Texas, and so I love denim and fringe and all that, and this jacket delivers. It has fringe trimmed, as I said, down the sleeves, Western accent, Western style. It has chest patch pockets. There's a slit in the back, and it, what I really especially love about it is that it has that oversized fit to it, so you can just kind of look, you know, it's not too snug. It just looks really cool. Perfect denim jacket for not only fall, winter, but if you live in an area, well, you know, at night, maybe in the evenings, even if it's summer or spring, especially if you live in regions where it's not extremely hot. But I mean, hey, we're here in the desert, and at night, why not have a cool jacket like this, especially when you go in venues where maybe the air conditioning is extremely cold. It's just a good-looking jacket to have at any time. Now, again, it's called The Harper. You'll see it. Go to the website, Rose, R-O-S-E, Paulino, P-A-U-L-I-N-O.com. This particular jacket comes in small, medium, large, and extra large. When you go to the website, please look at everything, because this site, this company not only has the stylish jackets for, you know, fun and, you know, just having a fun trip. Check out the dresses. Check out, there's a tab that says jumpsuits. There is a jumpsuit that I especially love. It's called, if I'm pronouncing this correctly, Evolette, E-V-O-L-E-T, the Evolette jumpsuit. Please look at this jumpsuit. It is just fabulous, especially with the New Year's Eve celebration coming up really soon. And we're in the holiday season. This is just a great looking jumpsuit to wear any time of the year. The Harper jacket, I don't have to tell you, great for a gift. Well, just keep it for yourself. Like me, I'm not leaving. No one gets this jacket. This is just for me only. So, but again, go to rosepaulino.com. She just has so many good looking items and good looking dresses and jumpsuits and slacks, and just go look at it. But that Evolette jumpsuit, if there's anybody out there that would like to gift me that jumpsuit, you know, you can reach me, info@filmfestivalradio.com. I am available for gifts. Yes, I am. Thank you. But anyway, thank you to the people at Rose Paulino Designs for gifting me with the Harper beautiful denim jacket. In fact, I'm going to be wearing it this weekend, so I might put some pictures on the website there. So, okay, we will be back with our first guest right after this. More with Film Festival Radio.
Film Festival Radio with Janice Malone will be right back after this.
Thank you. Okay, we have our first guest on board here on today's show. For those of you who still enjoy cuddling up with a real bona fide hardcover book, this is for you. Our guest is I should say New York Times bestselling and award-winning author. His name is Kwame Mbalia, and his latest book is called Tristan Strong Keeps Punching. And this book is part three of a trilogy series. And so for those of you who are already familiar with the Tristan Strong trilogies, the first book in the series received the Coretta Scott King Honor. Author honor award, I should say. But this is part three, and they're calling it a very satisfying finale. So if you've got the first two Tristan Strong books, then you will definitely want to add part three here. Now, Kwame got just a tremendous opportunity by way of New York Times bestselling author of over 20 novels for young readers, Rick Riordan. And he discovered Kwame and saw the writing talents that he has, and he made sure that he brought it to the attention of his publisher, Rick's publisher. And so, and now the rest is history. So now the whole world is, of course, familiar with Kwame's talents as a writer, novelist, for young adults, and the Tristan Strong trilogies there. Like I said, the first book received so many accolades, and it happened to be his very first book when it was released not too long ago. Went straight to the New York Times bestseller chart. You can't get too much better than that. So let's bring Kwame on board to tell us about Tristan Strong Keeps Punching. This is the final book in the series, the trilogy series. And so let's find out about it. And for those of you who already have books one and two, I know you will want to know, what is this next one all about? Well, we're going to find out right now. So let's bring Kwame on board right now.
Hey, that was fast, Janice. They're ready for you.
All right, let's talk. Let's start talking there.
All right.
Kwame, you're now on the line with Janice.
Well, good afternoon. Hi, Kwame. Good afternoon to you. So nice to chat with you.
Same here. Thank you for having me.
Well, you've got this new, a book out, Tristan Strong Keeps Punching. I have a cousin named Kristen. Kristen is on my mind. Tristan is Strong Keeps Punching. So this is a part of a series. So what can we expect? Of course, we want everybody to run out and go get the book. But Tristan, where do we find him? This is, I understand, the third and final book in the series. So what is Mr. Tristan doing now?
Oh, Tristan, you know, Tristan's been through a lot. In book one, he punched a hole into a different realm and helped combat a great evil. In book two, he dealt with the trauma that fell from that and returned to that realm to help rescue the people in trouble. And in book three, you know, Tristan has his own life. Tristan is a seventh grader. He's going into the eighth grade. School is about to start. And then here comes his arch rival, his nemesis from book one, King Cotton, back to spoil everything with his own plan for our world. And now Tristan not only has to deal with finding a first outfit for the first day of school, but also has to combat this villain. There's only so much a rising eighth grader can take.
No, I mean, it's tough being in the eighth grade if you're Tristan Strong.
It's hard.
It really is. So, okay, I understand this is the final series, book three. So any particular reason why you're stopping it at book three or what?
I mean, Tristan's story, it's really been told. He has transformed into the person that he didn't know he could become at the outset of book one. He's really come into his power, and he's learned that he has the ability to not only affect change, but to help others in doing so. And help himself as well. And so once you really have that transformation, you know, that arc has kind of come to an end, and it's sad and it's bittersweet. But, you know, we love to see that. We love to see growth. And so now it's time to see if we can have some other characters transform and grow.
Is there a possibility that the series, the book series, can go to, you know, animation or maybe television or film or what?
I mean, that's every author's dream. That is, you know, to have the adaptation of film or movie or TV series on Netflix or Hulu or where have you. That's the dream, because not only does it reach new audiences, but it drives them back to the book and back to the series. And it's just a different way of telling a story. And once you get, you know, people engaged with the story, that's what really hooks them.
Now, have you found, I know that this particular series is really the strongest demographic of young African-American kids in a certain age group, but are you finding that other ethnicities of kids are enjoying the Tristan Strong series or what?
Absolutely. And I use this analogy all the time. And it's the analogy of the birthday party. So with the birthday party, you are celebrating someone. And with Tristan and a lot of the books that I write, you know, I'm celebrating, you know, our African-American youth and our African diaspora youth. And this is, you know, connecting them and glorifying their heritage and, you know, giving them a chance to participate in a fantastical adventure with whimsy and wonder, which is great. But just like at a birthday party, everyone is welcome. We're all welcome to celebrate and to cheer on and enjoy these stories and engage with them. I think everyone will find empathy with Tristan and his friends he makes along the way. They will jeer King Cotton and boo him as they rightfully should. Because just like at a birthday party, you're going to get a slice of cake. Maybe you go home with a goodie bag. Maybe you play in the ball pit or pin the tail on the donkey. So everyone is welcome, because everyone is going to have fun, even if we're celebrating one person or one group of people in particular.
Yeah, you're right about the birthday party analogy, because, man, that birthday cake tastes good no matter what zip code you came from. Just love me some birthday cake.
It doesn't matter. It does not matter.
It really doesn't. So, okay, what's next project-wise for you?
I am super excited to announce. It just, you know, the news released on Friday, actually, that Tristan Strong, Punches a Hole in the Sky, will return in August of next year as a graphic novel. And so we were talking about adaptations and reaching new audiences, and this just gives another opportunity for a different group of readers to engage with the story.
So Tristan was kind of all grown up, almost, so to speak.
Well, no, it's the same story. It's represented as a graphic novel.
Oh, as more graphic wise. Okay. Well, I know the fans are gonna love that, of course, as well.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
And you can actually get a sneak peek of it right now on readreordin.com. They have a couple panels of the graphic novel up there.
Okay, so just go to his website, and there you are. I know I'm probably going to get cut off, but can you just quickly tell us, how did you meet Rick and got you really, really, really got your career started? So can you give us a thumbnail of that?
Absolutely. You know, Rick has always been one of my favorite authors. And when I heard that he was, you know, he had partnered with Disney to launch this Rick Riordan Presents imprint, and that they were looking for African-American cultural stories and folktales, I was like, this is my alley. I've got to shoot my shot. Mm-hmm. You know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
That's right.
And so I wrote a three chapters and a synopsis and sent it on, and they loved it. And I've been incredibly fortunate and blessed ever since to be a part of the imprint and just to watch it grow and to see these three books really, you know, kind of take the world by storm and find their readership.
Well, it sounds like both you and Rick hit the jackpot and the three-point shot with each other, because it's a very good success story with both of you. And now, so we can just go to Rick, RIORDAN.com and get a preview of the graphic novel for Mr. Tristan there for your next project. Is that correct?
You find it there. You can also, we're going to link to it on my website at KwameMbalia.com.
Okay. We can find you. We won't miss you. So, okay. Thank you for the chat, Kwame, and for the work. Very satisfying book. I have some relatives who are fans of yours, and they were really happy to see the latest book. Tristan Strong Keeps Punching. And Tristan is just found his way in the hearts of millions of readers around the world there. So thank you for your talents.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, well, we'll look to see you and chat with you hopefully next project.
That we will.
Okay, take care then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we are back with more of Film Festival Radio Show. Don't forget to drop us a line. You can find us info@filmfestivalradio.com, and we'll say hello back to you. You see hello. See, you, we want you to say hello to us first, please. And then we will return the favor, info@filmfestivalradio.com. And if you are a filmmaker, independent filmmaker, you have a film that's making the film festival circuit, you can also feel free to drop us a line about coming on the show to promote your film and tell us all about it, just as our next guest is about to do. Our next guest is Luke Benward, and he is a director, and he is the director of this new independent film titled Boys. B-O-Y-S, Boys. And this is Luke's directorial debut, so this is a very special film in that regards as well. This film is a film short, but it packs a powerful message, a powerful storyline, and it just leaves you on the edge of your seat. It's not a thriller or, you know, psychological thriller genre or anything like that, but it leaves you on the edge of your seat of just going, wow. I want more. I want to see more. I want a sequel. I want a full-length film. I want a TV show or something. That's how strong this film is. It's emotionally charged, and it's about the story. I'll give you some of the storyline. It depicts the tale of two young boys. I think maybe the oldest one looks to be about 12, the other one about 10 or so, 11. And they're friends, and they're playing in the desert, and they're just being boys. Boys will be boys playing in the desert, hide and seek, that sort of thing. And then something tragic happens. It's a loss of innocence. It's, a gun is involved. Yeah. And so for those, you know, obviously here in America, especially gun safety, gun control, gun laws, guns are just on the minds. Gun violence and all of that is just on the minds of people every single day. So this is one of those topics that captures your attention. And it is very, very well done. The film has already qualified to be considered for a 2022 Academy Award when those announcements and nominations are made. When is that, February or so? This one has already qualified to be considered. Yeah. So it is worth it. It's very much worth it. So our guest, Luke Benward, we're awaiting for him to give us a call. Let me tell you a little bit about Ben. As I said, this is his debut as a director. He's also an actor, a screenwriter, and a producer. He's been acting since he was only 5 years old, and he's been in films with big superstars such as Mel Gibson, Jennifer Aniston, Melissa McCarthy. I mean, he's been with some of the top, the best of. And so now he is taking his position behind the scenes as a director. And I think this first project as a director is a really good one. So a green light is blinking to let us know that Luke is on board. And so we will bring his mic up and find out more about the making of his new film short, Boys, which is racking up a lot of attention on the film festival circuit. So let's bring Luke on right now and get to know him and more about his film. Let's bring him on. So Luke, you made your directorial debut with this wonderful short, Boys.
Thank you. Yeah.
Just love the film. Okay. I guess we could, without revealing too much here, is Boys Will Be Boys gone horribly wrong? I guess that's a good way to without giving away too much.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, it is definitely not a comedy. It leans more towards tragedy.
Yes.
But yeah, that's one of the main themes is kind of the power that statement possesses and the washing away of sins, I guess, is kind of the most blatant way to put it. But I wanted to play with you know, I think that's especially in the South, a very normal saying. And I remember hearing, you know, family members of mine say it growing up, and I always was just like, what does that even mean? Like, it just seems like such a cop-out. So, you know, I think that we, through like kind of the development of the whole short, kind of found that line. And honestly, it was the title of the short for a while. And then it ended up simplifying a little bit more, but we kept that as kind of that button ending.
To further speak of the ending, it just kind of like a cliffhanger that leaves, it just left me sitting on the edge of my sofa. I was like, no. So is there a sequel? Is there a full length feature coming or what? Please say yes.
There's room. I'll say that there's room, and there's obviously hopes for that. I would love to build this out further. I think that even in its shortened place right now, that it's very layered and nuanced and interesting. So obviously, I would love the opportunity to build it out, and I've, you know, through conversing with people, thought, you know, a few different ways in which it could be, you know, we could either expand upon the story that is the short, you know, of the boys' day and the events that take place, or, you know, could show that as kind of the backstory and then the aftermath of you know, what Roland's life turns into and how that affects him and his growth and dive more into, you know, his father and his father's background and why that, you know, what are the building blocks of his life that really instigates a decision like the one that he makes. So I think that given the opportunity, I would love to develop it out further. But I think that, you know, I'm proud of the statement that's made with the short amount of time that we had. I think that, you know, I think that it's a testament to the passion of building it out is the layers that were already kind of built into the short.
Well, you're right. There are so many different layers and directions that definitely it could take. Because I am so curious as to the dad and the little boy and the parents of the other little boy. I mean, I just want to see closure for it.
Right, yeah.
I just want more. But as a filmmaker, director, producer, writer, I know that's what you guys want the audience to want more. That's obviously a part of the whole reason you guys make movies. And so you got me hooked on this one.
Well, thank you so much. That means the world. Yeah, I'm new to the world of filmmaking. I've been writing for some time, and I've been in the movie business my whole life, and with that obviously comes a passion for stories and really great movies, and the ones that have really touched me are the ones that do have that statement and have these intangibles that when you watch them, it just causes you to really like open up your mind and think and forces you out of your shell. And that's really, that was the goal behind this one was, let's tell a real story, but let's layer these little nuances in to really kind of catch people's eye. And I want different people to, pick out different things. A lot of people are affected by the dad. A lot of people are affected by the twists. A lot of people are affected by some of the smaller things. Like there's like a fly that was layered in that, kind of happened in the day, but it's this haunting thing where, every time danger is afoot, this fly is like almost kind of haunting over these kids. And so, yeah, I think that the goal really was to create a story and create a lot of themes that all work together to really just force people to sit and be like,
Very much. It got me. From the very beginning, the very first scene, the music, who is that with that hip hop song?
Sorry, what was the question?
The opening scene with the music, music is killer. Who is that?
Oh, it's Afro Man.
Okay.
He's like, I don't know why that song hit me all of a sudden, but I was thinking of, I wanted to establish that this kid was, the fact that he was struggling and all that kind of stuff with his at home and family life, I think was made apparent by the themes and some of the background action that was happening. But I wanted to, make a statement about his mindset and him wanting to both escape from his reality, but also assume a identity. And I just remembered back to being in high school and the first time I heard that song in particular, and it was one that was, I was just like, what? This song is like, I was a very sheltered kid and I heard that song and I was like, oh my gosh, this song is like, this is a lot. And I remember the kid who showed it to me and he just kind of embodied this energy of a false persona. Mm-hmm. I think, as you know Franklin, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I think that that's kind of why it jumped out to me. And not to mention, it's such a groovy and fun and happy song.
Very.
I wanted to start it off with just that, like, cool, here we go. This is about to be a fun short, mm-hmm. This is about to be two kids having, like, I just wanted it to be really, really lighthearted, but then the lyrics of the song have to do with, drugs and alcohol and guns and all these kinds of things that are like hidden beneath the happy tune. So it just kind of hit me. And then we got some really phenomenal composers to come on and bridge that gap between the hip hop opening to kind of the wonder and purity of two boys playing outside in the wilderness and just having fun and, zeal and just, they did a really great job of, it took some kind of massaging to really bridge that gap from hip hop to, more of a, like a, as you heard, kind of popish, mm-hmm. We tried to draw from Succession. I don't know if you watched Succession, for like more of the plotting base and that kind of thing. But, yeah, I'm very, the music took a second, and we have two composers that came on and really knocked out of the park. So, yeah, I think the music is one of the things I'm most proud of.
You should.
I love music and film. You know, I think that it's so vitally important.
Oh yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, you really should be good. Very good job on the soundtrack. And to further speaking of doing a very good job, the two young men, the boys, oh my goodness, they did a phenomenal
yeah.
job. Now, are they Nashville-based actors, or where are they from?
No. Yeah, so we shot in L.A. I live in L.A. now. I moved here probably 9 years ago. I was a child actor growing up, so I did, like, the back-and-forth thing, and then finally moved here for, like, my senior year of high school, so... no, they're both LA actors. August, who has curly hair, he plays, oh crap, I can't remember his name. Roland and, oh no, that's not a good look. He plays the kid with the curly hair. I can't remember his character name. That's horrible.
It's okay.
Oh my God, it's going to hit me like right as we're saying goodbye.
We'll just edit.
He and I had worked together before on a like comedy sitcom for Disney Channel. I did like a few episodes there. And so I worked with him. I met his mom. And we were looking, trying to, you know, cast these boys. And I was like, I wonder what August Maturo is up to. And so I went and checked out his IMDb and saw that he had been doing some more dramatic pieces since, and was really growing up into, and when I worked with him, he was probably like 8, 9, and now he's like 12, 13, and really growing up, and so I watched his stuff, and it was great. So I just wrote a letter, reached out, let him know kind of what we were going for, and we got really lucky with him. And then same thing with Cameron Cravetti, who is a phenomenal young actor. He's working a ton. He's on Boys, not to be confused with The Short, but Boys is the show on Amazon about, you know, the superheroes. It's the Seth Rogen produced show, and so he has a long arc on that, and he was on Big Little Lies, and he's just really, really, really phenomenal actor. And me and him share a management company, I guess I should say. So I got really lucky with him. I hit up my manager to see what young talent is making a name for themselves, and Cameron came up, and we got lucky that he wanted to do it too. So, yeah, I mean the Short rides on the shoulders of Cameron and August. You know, it's you can only do so much with the lighting, and you can only do so much with the music, and all that could be perfectly in line, but you don't buy it unless those two boys go through the wild range of emotion that they were able to do. So, yeah, I mean, the success of The Short is on their shoulders.
And they nailed it. Oh, my goodness, did they.
Nailed it.
They just nailed it, pulled the nail out, and re-nailed it again. It's just, they did.
Absolutely.
I was just like, wow, look at these kids. In fact, I've played it like 3 times today because...
I enjoy. There's some moments that, like, I've seen it, you know, double digit times easily, mm-hmm. you know, over and over, whether it's just pieces of it or the whole thing, and every single time there's moments that I discover something new every time I watch it, or I get chills and, you know, tear up every single time. My girlfriend's the same way. She's a producer on it as well, Ariel. And every time she watches, she turns to me and she's like, I'm tearing up again. Like, that's, I think, a testament to their just talent and level of commitment, is that they just fully, like, gave themselves to the character. And it's hard to watch, I think, right? You know, it's like, it's just so hard to watch them struggle.
It is that the latter few minutes, it's like, oh no, this cannot be happening.
Yeah.
And it did. So,
yeah.
Wow. So, okay, the film, obviously, I don't even have to ask you, what do you think is about the film that everybody, the film just speaks for itself. So in saying so, it has qualified to be considered for an Oscar. So what does that feel like, your first time out as a director?
Oh, I mean, it feels phenomenal. I'm just I'm just glad that, you know, I was able to translate this art in a way that, that it affects people. You know, I think that's really, that's the goal. And, you know, this whole Oscar run for me is just a confirmation that, you know, I was able to translate these emotions through motion picture to actually affect people in a real way. So I'm excited for the future. You know, I'm trying to mitigate expectations and just have fun and be along for the ride. And a lot of this is way just like, you know, over my head. I have an incredible team of producers around me who are spearheading it. And Andrew Carlberg, who's won this before, is like, you know, really just like kind of leading us into what I would consider the unknown. Mm-hmm. I'm honored, I'm flattered, I'm just very, very excited, I hope that it, you know, opens doors for me to continue to translate art and to continue to, you know, create things in the future is kind of how I'm feeling.
Well, now, as you mentioned earlier, you've been in the entertainment industry as an actor since you were 5 years old, and you've worked with some of the top names, Melissa McCarthy, Mel Gibson, Jennifer Aniston, so many. So now that you are having this great success as a director, do you have plans on going back in the front of the camera, or are you feeling more comfy behind the scenes now?
You know, I loved directing. I truly felt like it was a completely different muscle, and I felt like I came alive in a completely different way. So I love that, and I'm pursuing that very hard and looking for the next opportunity. I'm also just producing some things. I have a film that is an indie that we're hopefully going to be filming at start of, like, you know, midway January, start of February. I've also been writing for a while these last few years, so I'm putting in a lot of my free time behind the camera and really trying to get that going. But I still love acting, and I'm still auditioning heavily, and the answer is yes to all of it.
Okay.
I'm kind of just diving in head first to give myself to just the art of making film, really, in any way I can, whether it's you know, captain of the ship or mm-hmm. deckhand or, you know, one of the other assorted and very important jobs that it takes to complete this task. So, yes, okay. I still love acting, but I'm just trying to diversify myself.
Okay. Well, now, obviously, the film Boys is doing the film festival circuit and doing quite well. Are those the plans to continue the film festival circuit for the rest of this year, or can the public see it streaming soon, or what?
So I, to be very honest, am not as well versed in that side. I'm pretty sure that the plan is to continue the festival circuit. I know that we're waiting on a handful of more festivals we submitted to that are coming up this year, like Sundance and I think TIFF perhaps is the other one that we're waiting on, the two really, really big ones. So I know that there's a handful of festivals that we're still going to. And, you know, with the whole Oscar campaign, I'm not sure really what the protocol is for the public consumption yet. However, as soon as we're able to, it'll be up and shared. And, you know, my goal is obviously as kind of the art brain on the team, I want everyone to see it, right?
But, yes.
But the people who understand the process know that all in good time. So I'm just kind of, you know, along for the ride and I'm waiting for that go ahead. But yes, eventually, hopefully sooner rather than later, it will be up for everyone to see.
I want everyone to see this movie short. I really, really want everybody to see this. And then it will make sense as to why I am such an advocate to continue it to a full screen, full feature film, I'm trying to say. People will say, oh, no, I get it.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just begging for a sequel, please. Well,
yeah, that'd be fun. Hopefully we get our same two boys, too.
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely. Well, now, social media handles or website that people can follow the success of the film?
Yeah, absolutely. Instagram is kind of our main social media we use.
Okay.
And that handle is Boys the Film.
Okay. That's an easy one. Boys the Film. And
Boys the Film, yeah. Okay. Keep it simple.
Okay, I love that. And well, we will I will definitely keep pushing and putting the word out. When I love a film, I just tell everybody, please go see this.
Oh, thank you so much.
Very, very good job there. There's this scene in the desert, and it's this, what is it, a tree or a plant? It kind of looks like Joshua Tree somewhere. It's just beautiful. I was like, man, I wish that was a poster.
It's gorgeous, right?
Just gorgeous. Just gorgeous.
Yeah, we have a lot of good, I had a buddy come out when we were shooting, and he just kind of took pictures of the ambiance and all that. So we had a lot of good pictures to choose from of the landscape out there. It was a place called Victorville. It's about an hour and a half outside of LA, like on the way to Vegas. So
okay.
It was definitely like in the middle of nowhere, like little desert town.
Well, I just happen to live in Vegas, so I kind of got the feel of that. I would love to pass through Victorville now to see this, to see what it looks like. I haven't been on that. Lovely.
It's basically like, I can't remember what the highway number is, but you know, like when you take, what is it, like the 5 all the way? I'm trying to remember. I drive to Vegas all the time. My girlfriend loves Vegas. So we go often. And my dad's been doing a show in Vegas for years now at Mandalay Bay. So I frequent Vegas often. But it's off like one of like the side highways. Kind of like a two-lane road kind of thing. One of the original like state routes,
I think,
what it would be called.
Well, your dad's show, what's his name?
His name's Aaron Benward. And he started, I want to say like a little over 10 years ago, he started, it's called Nashville Unplugged. And he started at Green Valley Ranch and then went to Red Rock. And then, I'm a little bit fuzzy on the timeline, but he's been at Mandalay Bay now for a while, playing, it's in the casino. And it's basically, in Nashville, you know, the Bluebird Cafe.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's basically...
Well, Luke, I tell you, it's been such a delight chatting with you. Thank you for giving me such great backstory notes about the film, Boys. And
absolutely, yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, I'm going to be cheering extra loud for you and your film to make that final cut for an Oscar nomination. I really am, because I love this film. I really do.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That means the world.
Okay, well... Thank you for the call, and we will follow you on Instagram with the success of the film.
Incredible. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.
Okay, you do the same then. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Oops. Okay.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Film Festival Radio with your host, Janice Malone. Be sure to download this and other episodes at filmfestivalradio.com. Stop picking up Film Festival.